You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Indeed, another Saturday morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome in. This is Make the Call. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director here at Civic Media, and every week we get to talk some sports here on this radio network. It's not all politics. It's not all news. We get this hour to take a side quest and talk a little sports. So saying that, we welcome aboard a couple other members of the Civic Media Radio Empire. First, of course, we have to welcome in Parker Vertical Olson in Madison. Parker, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, not too much. Getting excited about a Badger championship going on later today. Playing in a championship.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know if they're winning, but I'll hold on to my horses here.
You know what? I am hoping for the hardware myself. That game today will be heard on Civic Media on WFHR. So if you're listening, find that Wisconsin Rapids station today. We'll talk a lot more about that coming up in a half hour as part of our sports coverage today. And of course, we have to head up north and hear from upper management, and that would be Gray Gunderson. Gray, what's going on, man?
Howdy, Jimmy. Upper management is getting older today. I can tell you that because I missed 2 hours of sleep last weekend, and I'm still paying for it as we speak here. So if that reflects, I'm kind of sorry.
Well, speaking of getting older, Parker, I think you've just had a birthday. I just celebrated a birthday. Gray, are you an April birthday as well?
I'm in May, so not far off, but I'm late as always.
Boy, if we were all in the same office, the amount of birthday cake in a two-month span would be just absolutely incredible. It is Make the Call. We're going to talk sports, maybe some birthday cake. Who knows? Coming up in a half hour, going to go through in detail Badgers hockey playing for the national championship. They haven't won one in 20 years. They haven't been to this game since 2010. We'll talk a bit about that coming up in a half an hour. Going to hear a little bit from Brian Posick, who's the voice of Badgers hockey. We had an interview with him last week, and we're going to bring part of that back, just talking about the journey to get here. I think it's good insight, and we'll offer our takes on that as well. We'll also hear from Mike Clemens, who will give us a full rundown of sports, and that'll be coming your way here in about 45 minutes or so. But right now, we start the show with a segment we call the Top 8 at 8. It is the top 8 sports stories or not sports stories in the sports world at 8 a.m. So let's get started with number 8 in our Top 8 at 8. And I just have to ask this, after seeing the Brewers reveal new uniforms, I got to ask you guys, is Wisco a thing? Now, I've heard Scotty, I've heard whiskey. I know there's a bar called Wisco's, but I got to tell you, when I saw this uniform, I had to raise both eyebrows because I've never heard anybody from Wisconsin refer to themselves as from Wisco. It is so bizarre.
The only time I've ever seen it is when people were limited for the length of a username, for example. Like, I've seen a couple people incorporate the word after a couple words. Like, if I was going to do Gray from Wisconsin, there's a couple services where, you know, like original Twitter way back in the day might have clipped that off. But other than that, no, not used in daily life. It sounds like something people from other states might say about us, which doesn't bother me. But Parker, what are your feelings here? I think I might just adopt whatever you tell me to feel here.
Well, I'm very much in the
dangerous.
Same camp. Yeah. I think I'm with you, Gray. It does feel like an out-of-state person thing. I think I've seen Wisco only in text. Never as an actual thing. I've never heard somebody say I'm from Wisco. But anyway, about those uniforms, other than that, there's a lot of meat left on the bone, Jimmy, and we don't like to leave meat on the bone. We like to squeeze all the juice out of the turnip, and they did not do so, I don't think, here. All the secondary stuff is better than the actually stuff, like Wisco stuff that's featured.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, I love the barrel man thing. That's really cool. I like seeing Forward. It's kind of a nod to, like, you know, Forward Madison, the soccer club. It's kind of cool to see Forward on another sports uniform. But yeah, I was really underwhelmed by it. I mean, these look straight out of a of a marketing or PR campaign. That's what they look like to me. Number seven in our top 8 at 8. Let's talk a little bit more about things kind of on the fringe of sports. We've seen how ABS has affected baseball. We've seen the helmet taps. And I know that it is completely gone, you know, in unintended directions in some cases, but I think overall people are enjoying it. So now I'm curious, what other ways do we need to automate officiating in sports? We've seen it in tennis with the calls on the line. Now we're seeing it in baseball with the strike calls. I'm just curious if there's anything else we need to automate in sports with robot officials.
That's an interesting way of phrasing it. Whether we need to, I don't know so much. I know people have been talking about tracking first downs with like a chip in the football for years. And I'll hop on that ever so often soapbox of mine. It's not that it's not possible. It's just not possible for the amounts that they're willing to pay right now. Like an owner vote in the NFL just wouldn't pass for the number of millions you'd have to pay to develop the tech right now, but it wouldn't take them long. It's totally possible. Like, you can tell what's in my pockets before I even get into the airport these days. You can't tell me you can't track a first down with that kind of tech. You could do it with hockey. You could do it with soccer. Honestly, I think there's probably not a sport you couldn't do it with if you threw enough money at it at this point with tiny batteries and chips. Maybe I'm overestimating it. Am I out of pocket here?
No, I think you're pretty much right on the dot. Hockey was the first thing that I thought of as well to see whether or not the puck actually crossed the goal line. I don't know if that would be helpful for offsides and blue lines or not as well. Maybe it is. I'm not quite sure of that. But yeah, no, that is the first thing I thought of. And as well, first down. Soccer does, I think, do chips in the ball to tell if a players were offsides or if there was a goal. So I don't know why that's not more widely used. It seems like a very easy and smart idea.
The NFL did microchip footballs, I think, in the preseason last year. And the NFL officials would have to go retrieve the football and they get chucked into the crowd because those footballs are worth a lot of money. And they would swap it out for a football without a microchip. I remember seeing a story on that last year. Just think, you know, just how much a microchip football would be worth. It's going to be a while before we see that at the high school level. So for now, we're just going to have to use the good old trusty eyeballs to figure out our first downs at the level I coach. Chat. Number six in the top 8 at 8. We have seen a lot of players move on from the Wisconsin Badgers basketball program. Parker Vertical Olson, do you have any eligibility left to join the Badgers?
Oh, I sure wish I do, but unfortunately, Jimmy, I do not.
There's a spot for you, probably.
There probably is. If we're asking what they're going to look like next year, I think the answer is very foreign. We don't have a lot of familiarity with most of the guys who are going to be on that team now next year. Foreign also in the sense that I think that the Badgers might tap into some of that international power like we saw a little bit this year. I think that they might try to lean into that more because a lot of those guys from overseas do bring an extra amount, I guess, of experience that can be really helpful in the NCAA.
Number five in our top 8 at 8. This is where we get to turn Gray loose because the NFL draft is coming up, and I have to imagine there are spreadsheets or stacks of notebooks hanging out in the Park Falls office with Gray right now, getting ready for the NFL draft. Now, the Packers don't pick till a little bit later, but that's prime time for draft nerds. And I'm curious, Gray, if there are any prospects that you really hope you see end up in Green Bay one way or another.
I'll admit, Jimmy, I've been a bit deficient keeping track of prospects this year because I look at what the Packers have in draft capital. And the way they've been acting the last couple of years, we're kind of in anything goes territory here because we don't have a first round pick this year or next year, thanks to the Micah Parsons trade. But that could change theoretically. I don't see them doing a Ricky Williams and trading the full draft in order to go up and grab a player in the first. But I don't know. I feel like if we see something we haven't seen before, I wouldn't even be that surprised after they took a wide receiver in the first round next year. It's not like that was a total tonal shift in the organization, but there's a couple signs here and there that things are going to be a little bit different. I think Matt LaFleur took that respect from players grade that didn't go so well. I think he took that a little bit personally. I've already seen 3 or 4 headlines on that this week. And if people don't know, it's those player report cards. Our station dog gets excited about the Packers too. He's my dog after all. So
I'm wondering if your station dog has any thoughts on what positions the Packers might be targeting in the draft.
Well, actually, Jimmy, we're going to end up leaking into the next question in the segment here, because I think we might see a quarterback going. So we'll have to circle back to that, because there's a few things that they've got that they could take, but they've already addressed most of their needs. It's going to be offensive line or quarterback or some backup of some kind. It's not going to be a spectacular draft unless it's absolutely ridiculous. It's no gray area here.
Ah, you're using your name in a sentence there. That's pretty cool. I look too. Just some of the posts coming this week from the Packers. I saw, the Colts are looking to trade one of their corners, and a very recent Indianapolis Colt, tweeted a picture. Azir Franklin tweeted a picture of himself with said defensive back. So I'm curious if, defensive back, they could always use edge rushers, linemen. It feels like a meat and potatoes draft to me, is what it really feels like. But where you might see like a flyer on an outside guy late, but it just feels like meat and potatoes this year.
Agreed. The needs have already been at least somewhat addressed, but you're exactly correct. There's room to add at a couple positions where the room is already large, like wide receiver. They just lost Romeo Doubs, and replacing him is not going to be as easy as it seems. But corner, linebacker, defensive line, offensive line, really, they could add somebody just about anywhere, and it would be worth doing if it's a worthwhile prospect. If it's somebody they think will hit like a late round, like a seventh rounder, watch for the sleepers in the late rounds this year from Green Bay.
Parker, what about you? What are you hoping the Packers do?
I'm thinking kind of the same thing as Gray. I would like to focus on offensive line, maybe get a little bit of reinforcements on that defensive side. You mentioned Zaire Franklin, and I don't know why that is what made me think of this. Did you guys see something from Jair Alexander about being back in Green Bay, or did I dream this?
I'm pretty sure that's a dream, but it's fun.
I know it's not an official thing. I know that he's not a Packer again, but I swear I saw a post from him that was saying that he's back, like was in the neighborhood and was like posting pictures reminiscing on his time in Green Bay.
I mean, I've seen like A.J. Dillon come back to Green Bay and like post like, hey, I'm in Door County, and he doesn't play for the Packers in a couple of years.
Well, he was the mayor. Man. Come on.
I'm enjoying the fact that you're dreaming about random Packers defensive backs, though. That's it tells me that we're getting very close to football season in a way, even though it's the beginning of April here.
You never know.
Well, so let's keep on the football theme, because number three in our top eight at eight, as Gray hinted, we want to talk about the Packers backup quarterback situation, because well, the market is starting to get pretty slim in terms of veteran options. We've seen teams go deep into the well for backup quarterbacks in the past year or two. I mean, seeing Philip Rivers come off retirement to play for the Colts for three games was absolutely incredible. But I don't think the Packers are going to be quite chucking that Hail Mary. I'm just curious on your thoughts on what the Packers might do at backup quarterback now.
Straight up, I'm thinking they're going to look for that in the draft right now. I'm thinking Jordan is aware that a quarterback might be entering the room, but I wouldn't expect that to happen any sooner than the fourth or fifth round. Historically, sort of the approach. That's where the Packers backups usually come from, Malik Willis being an exception here. But I'd like to point to Malik Willis as the alternative option, not because we might go get him back from Miami. He's going to be the starter down there this season, it sure looks like. But because the Packers might pull something like that again, and maybe even from the same team. There's one Will Levis hanging out down there in Tennessee right now. He's not going to get starting privileges over Cam Ward anytime soon. And he's got some physical traits that, well, he's capable. There's also been rumors that the Packers were interested in Colts' former first rounder back up in a weird spot, Anthony Richardson Sr. So like an athletic player who hasn't done well after a rookie contract, being Richardson or Levis or somebody in the draft. Unless there's somebody I just don't see coming, everybody's signed up. There were even Kirk Cousins rumors, but he's a Raider now. Parker, have you heard anything I haven't spotted?
No, I'm still thinking about Jair Alexander, actually.
I was going to ask you, in your dreams, who is the Packers' backup quarterback? Because, it'd be great to figure this out before we get to the draft. All right, well, we'll check your dream journal here during the break. When we come back, we're going to move away from football. We're going to talk a little bit about the sports in progress, one about to wrap up, one just underway. And we'll do that coming up next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just repeating what the big voiceover guy said there. I'm Jimmy. I'm back here with Gray and Parker. We are continuing our top 8 at 8, and we have made it to number 3 in our top 8 at 8. And this is coming via a number of interviews and stories that have come out late in the week this week. Yesterday morning, the Bucks coach, Doc Rivers, was on several sports shows nationally, FanDuel Sports. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, making his media rounds following a report from Shams Charania that said basically that the Bucks are in disarray and the locker room is terrible and toxic and all this stuff. And Doc Rivers says it's simply not the case. Seen this before, heard this before. Shams puts out a story saying the Bucks are this. Everybody in the Bucks organization says no way. The GM of the Bucks is coming out and saying, hey, you know, making a whole lot of word salad out of the Giannis situation. It's not good times right now for the Milwaukee Bucks. And last night was kind of that final, I don't know, that the final nail in the coffin of this whole lost season, and that the Bucks refused to play Giannis due to health reasons in the final home game. And what some people have gone out and said might be the final time that he would have been a Buck, you know, as a home player for Milwaukee. So all that being said, the Bucks sure seem primed to be making a coaching move in the offseason. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on who might be the coach or what you would want to see from the next head coach of the Bucks. And yes, I get it. It greatly, greatly depends on what happens with Giannis this offseason. Let's assume that he's staying because he's under contract for one more year. Parker, I'm going to start with you.
I don't know that I have any names really in particular that come to mind for a head coach necessarily, but there are definitely things that you're looking at that you would want them to have, right? We're talking about a team right now whose culture is kind of in question, especially in these last couple of weeks with all investigation into whether or not Giannis is being treated correctly and the team culture is really toxic, this and that, and just a bunch of horrible news, frankly, that you don't want to hear coming out of a locker room. You need someone who can set a culture, who can set the tone, in addition to being able to build what is, I think, is probably going to be a pretty young roster going forward. The Bucks are going, whether they have Giannis or not, so what surrounds him would be fairly younger guys. So you need someone who can work with those guys and get guys acclimated with the league and be able to go, all right, it's game time. We got to go. I think that there's a pretty good handful of guys that just are not meshing well right now with the Bucks. And they could definitely use somebody who can, I don't want to say whip them into shape, but that's kind of what they need. They need somebody to go, all right, you guys have got to find the culture, find the way to work together. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. Gray, what about you?
I'll admit, I'm with you, Parker. I don't have anybody particular in mind, but it's exactly that. And if it's an unfamiliar name, I'm for it because I'm okay with experimenting at this point. You know, I actually was talking with Mike Clemens yesterday on my morning show up here in Park Falls, and we were chatting about just how much time Giannis has missed and the sour attitude that it's kind of created in the air up there. And you need somebody who can help people relax. And if you give me somebody chill, I mean, okay, it might not be time for the hippie head coach, but hey, if it works and it's silly, then it's not silly. It works. But Mike actually texted me after we chatted on the show. He said, Giannis officially played in 36 games. Therefore, after Sunday, he will have missed 46 for the year, including the shutdown here at the end of the season. And it's just, you got to completely get that in the taillights, whether Giannis is there or not. Who can do that? I can only answer with questions, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's unfair to kind of really consider this without knowing what happens with Giannis, because that's the domino that falls, not just for the Bucks, but I would say the entire NBA this offseason. What happens with Giannis? If Giannis is available, everything else starts moving. If he's not available, then they move on to the next available guy. Number 2 in our top 8 at 8, and this is a Brewers question, because the Brewers obviously are in progress this season, and that is just a simple question for you. And over under, we're 2 weeks into the season. It is time to make overreactions to, you know, 12 games and change on the Brewers baseball season. Let's ask this: over under, Brewers making the playoffs, do they do better than making the playoffs, or do they do worse than making the playoffs? That is the question here at number 2 in our top 8 at 8.
I'm going to go with they at least win one series. I have a really good feeling about the Brewers, I think. I know that I said last week that I wasn't fully bought in, and I'm not fully bought in entirely, but they've got the pieces that really do point towards being able to win a couple of series. I did say a couple of series. I think that they may make an appearance in the World Series. My fingers are crossed. I'm really hopeful. I don't know, though.
I'm going to lean into this.
That's right out of his dream journal, I think.
That was out of my dream journal, yes. I was asked earlier this week what team I would rather see win a championship first, Bucks or Packers, Packers or Brewers. And I went with Brewers. I'm dreaming, yeah, baby.
The Brewers are more due. The Packers had a Super Bowl back in 2010. I know that's exactly 16 years ago now, but that's the Brewers are due. I would agree. And I would agree that this is the year for the over bet, I think. If only a brief appearance, it feels right. It's a good start, but people don't feel arrogant about it. Murph's in a good mood, so I'm in a good mood even after this stutter at the beginning of the season. Let's get right and let it carry through the season, I believe.
All right, I'm going to go counter to you guys. I'm going to say under that they missed the playoffs, and I'm saying it because of this. I am worried that they don't have the pitching depth that they've enjoyed the last couple of years where they've found guys out of nowhere. They've had injuries a bit to start the year, although not serious injuries, but there's a lot of unknowns and unprovens, and I don't know that you have a Jacob Mizrowski coming out of your farm system to bolster your rotation or even your bullpen late in the year. And that's something that they've enjoyed the last few years, where whether it's a free agent signing that comes in, you know, like Jose Quintana coming in and giving you some, you know, eating some innings for your team, or having somebody just pop up out of nowhere that can throw 80 innings for you and keep things stable as you make your run in the fall. And that's the thing. The Brewers are kind of a fall team. They're not really a spring team. Last year, we saw it. They had a slow start in the spring, and then they caught fire late in the year. They had those two big winning streaks last year. You know, if things go like that again, if it's a carbon copy of last year, yeah, easy. I look stupid, and, you know, they're in the playoffs, and what was I worried about? But, you know, I look around, and I'm like, I don't know where the help is coming from when they need it, especially if there are any injuries coming this year. So I'm going counter to you guys this week. I can do that.
You can do that.
All right, well, we still have one more to go in Top 8 today. We saved this one because the Badgers hockey program, men's hockey, is in the national championship. Women already won their national title. The men go for the national championship later today, and we're going to talk about that next year on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call, half past the hour. Jimmy Cuska, Greg Gunderson, Parker Olson with you. And we are now on to number one in our top 8 at 8. And yeah, this week we stretched this out a little bit this week. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've got a bit of history happening today. Badger men's hockey is in the national championship in the Frozen Four. They'll be taking on Denver later today at 4 o'clock Central Time. And you can hear that game on WFHR on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also hear it on the free Civic Media app, civicmedia.us/app. Search for WFHR and you'll get the Badgers Radio Network broadcast with one Brian Posick on the call today as Wisconsin faces Denver, first Frozen Four final since 2010, and the first time the Badgers could win a championship, I guess. Their last championship came in 2006. That was back when I was but a lowly network engineer on the Badgers Radio Network, as someone who at the time was all of, I think, let's see, I'm doing the math, right around 21 years old. So it has been a while for the Badgers. It's been a while for me. I remember producing this game, guys, and this is a fun story I love to talk about, because on that broadcast, the post-game interview and the excitement in the locker room, you know, this is, again, it's 20 years ago. They send up the interviews, they record them, you know, on a recorder, and they send them back as a, you know, through an email, or they bring the USB stick or the card up top. And the person who did the interviews didn't tell them, like, hey, by the way, I had to reset this one because the guy swore. So when they go on the air, guys, on the Badgers Radio Network, statewide, national championship just won by the Badgers. And the first guy they talk to in the locker room, they ask him, well, hey, how does it feel to be in a national championship? And the guy goes, I know I'm not supposed to swear, but it feels blank great. And the blank, of course, is the big FCC word, the one that you don't want to say on a broadcast. And we can't say on this broadcast, but I'll let you fill in that blank. It was a huge moment, because I'm sitting there at the next commercial break and I'm listening to one Brian Posick in the queue go, oh, no, that's not good. Oh, no. We've all had that moment in broadcasting where something happens on the air and all we can do is shake our heads and just hope that upper management, great, wasn't paying attention, and we can get away with it, right?
get away with it. You expect to get away with it? What do you think my role actually is here? Talking about football, Jimmy? How dare you?
Well, either way, I want to ask you guys your thoughts, though. This is such a cool moment because hockey in Wisconsin this year has had quite the run. In women's hockey, you saw both Wisconsin and UW-River Falls win national championships. And in men's hockey, Stout made the Frozen Four in D3. There is no D2. And in D1, it's Wisconsin and Denver later today for it all. And it is such a cool moment to see that the Badgers could potentially sweep college hockey titles this year. What a great thing that would be.
That would be, I'm sure that there are instances of that before, and frankly, it could be even instances of the Badgers having done that before. I don't know for sure. But if Wisconsin can pull that off, that is one of the crazier feats that you can have. The women's program, obviously, with Mark Johnson has been absolutely incredible. But now the Badger men's hockey has been obviously doing very well. It is something that I think for most of my lifetime, probably the men have kind of been in like sitting in limbo of like, they've got the potential and they've always got names that they're really excited about. There's always guys on the roster that you're thinking, oh, this could be a really good team that really does something. But they never were quite really able to get over the hump, it seemed like, for the last, well, what'd you say? It's been 20 years since they've been to a Frozen Four, right?
It's 2010. But yeah, and this year was kind of out of nowhere because, you know, last year they lost. I think they only won half as many games as they won the year before. And now in the third year under Coach Mike Hastings, here they are. They're back in the Frozen Four. Gray, I know that this isn't quite football, but I mean, just the uniqueness of having a national title appearance by the same school in both men's and women's hockey. That's a pretty unique thing, right?
Oh, this is football on ice skates, Jimmy. It's got my attention. I love watching the kind of play you get when guys are allowed to hit each other. There's certain decisions get made that are less tactical and a little bit more spectacular. And it happens in hockey too. And that's what I love. I hope we're going to see that from the final here, because aggressive play has kind of been the hallmark for the Badgers. And that's exactly what I'm easy to please. I guess it's kind of like I'm sitting there in the Coliseum. My thumb is up like, yes, do the thing. But my point is, the penalty kill has been spectacular. That's allowed the Badgers to play aggressively. And as long as they don't let Denver punish them in that kind of play, I think, I'll keep quiet. I think you can guess what I expect to happen today, but I'm also a little stitious, so we're not going to go there.
That's all right. Well, and you know, the Badgers also have the advantage of having a pretty good netminder too. I know that the semifinal, the North Dakota game, was a little low scoring. I expect there to be more goals in the championship later today. And you know, last week we actually got some insight on this. We talked to somebody who actually knows a little bit about hockey, and that is Brian Posick. He is the voice of Wisconsin Badgers hockey. He'll be calling the Frozen Four final today on the Badger Sports Network, as well as on WFHR, on Civic Media, and the free Civic Media app. Here's a part of that conversation we had, Brian, last week about the journey for this year's Badgers and getting to the Frozen Four. Again, this was recorded ahead of last week and ahead of the semifinal. We now know, of course, the Badgers beat North Dakota, so that a little bit of this might be a little dated, but I think it's really cool to just hear kind of the journey for this year's Badgers and how we arrived to Wisconsin playing for a national title later today. Here again is Brian Posick, Badgers Radio Network. The first thing I asked him about is just the excitement of making it back to the Frozen Four.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for having me. And it's been a long time. I mean, you think last Frozen Four was 2010 in Detroit, lost to Boston College. That was Wisconsin's first Hobey Baker Award winner was Blake Jeffrey on that season. And 4 years prior to that, it was Wisconsin's last national championship season of 2006, winning at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee against Boston College on Tom Gilbert's go-ahead goal, you know, halfway through the third period of play. It's been a long time coming, but I think Mike Hastings, we've seen, was the appropriate hire by the University of Wisconsin to move this program back to where it once was. And hopefully you see another win or two in Las Vegas here next week.
The Badgers, when you look at statistics, I mean, they're pretty even with opponents in a lot of categories.
Very much so. I mean, you look at all four teams that are there, Wisconsin, North Dakota, Michigan, Denver, they're among the top 10 teams in the country in scoring offense. The one position where Wisconsin and Michigan probably a little bit more alike than the other two. Defensively, while their goaltending has been good, they still give up 2.5-3 goals a game. So you look at North Dakota, Denver, their victory margin is much larger than Wisconsin's. There's no question about that. But just the talent level, the history of these programs. I mean, Denver's won 10 national championships. Michigan's won 9. North Dakota's won 8. Wisconsin's won 6. No other teams come. I mean, Minnesota's won 5. They're not there. They didn't even make the tournament. So can you ask for a better field for an NCAA Frozen Four anywhere, let alone Vegas, you know, where nobody sleeps? And I'm hoping I get some sleep at some point down there, but you never know. It turned out to be, I mean, it's I don't know if you can write a script better than that. You've got four teams there. Michigan's been ranked number one in the country this season. North Dakota, Denver as well. Wisconsin was as high as number two. The Badgers are the dark horse in this field because of how things have transpired throughout the season. But I think it's up for grabs. Anybody can win this one.
When you look at the Badgers, just the overall depth of the team, obviously a net pretty good one in Hauser, but like you look at the depth of just the roster and the lineup, they've got pieces like everywhere. Everybody's kind of it's a lot like, you know, the successful teams in any other sport. A lot of guys really bought into roles that they have on the team, and it's pretty clear to see that they got some standouts in some key areas.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Gavin Morrissey's their leading point getter. He's a sophomore centerman, assistant captain. He averages about a point per game. Christian Fitzgerald's on his left, and Fitzy's reached a career high in goals in college, and he's one of the top power play performers in all the country. And then Quinn Finley, who's been hot lately. When Wisconsin went through its 6-game losing streak back in January, he didn't have a single point. And so now all of a sudden he comes on fire, and he's got 6 goals in the last 10 games, and he scored more points in the regional level of the NCAA tournament than anybody else. So you've got those three guys leading the way, but you can move on down the line. Simon Tassi, a senior, scores 2 goals in the regional semi against Dartmouth. Oliver Tulk, who's a second-line centerman, produced a couple of points and was fantastic in the faceoff circle. And then you go to the D-Corps, too. I mentioned Luke Osborne, who's just a freshman and just a star in the making, in my belief, in many people's eyes too, but you've got the one of the top defensemen in all the country, and Ben Dexheimer, who leads the way. So they've got a lot of pieces in various different areas, and just that want to, that determination, that grit that we saw when you can score 2 goals in the final 5 minutes and get to overtime and knock out the number one seed in your regional.
Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey is in the Frozen Four, and there will be coverage on Civic Media stations. WFHR and Wisconsin Rapids will have coverage of that coming up April 11th. For Badgers hockey to find its way competitively to be among the top teams in the nation this year, it almost felt a little out of nowhere. Like all of a sudden the Badgers program has, you know, it's arrived to a moment where they're competitive nationally. So what has that ascent been like just from your perspective and being with it day to day? Because finding the Badgers in the Frozen Four is a little bit of an unexpected happy surprise for people who follow all things Badgers.
Well, you think about it, when they won the national title in 1990, they went to the Frozen Four in 92, 06, 2010, and now. So it's 1990, Jimmy, right? That's 35, 36 years. This is only the fourth Frozen Four. This is not what Wisconsin hockey fans, certainly longtime Wisconsin hockey fans, are used to. But, you know, so Mike comes in 2 years ago, wins 26 games. They're battling for the Big Ten Conference regular season title down to the final weekend against Michigan State. They don't win it, get knocked out of the first round of the Big Ten tournament, and then they go to Hampton, Connecticut, and weren't on their A game and eventually lost to Quinnipiac in overtime. Then the following year, last year, they won half as many games as they won the first year under Mike. So to believe that this was expected this year, I don't know if that's accurate. I think expectations every year is Wisconsin should be there, but I'm not sure if anybody realized that they could reach this level, especially after you start 15-3-2, and then you lose 6 in a row. You kind of right the ship after injured players like Morrissey and Vasily Zilanov come back. But then first round of the Big Ten tournament, you get smoked at home 7-1, And you're thinking, well, this team can't do anything. And then they have 2 weeks off. They somehow get into the tournament thanks to results from other conference tournaments. And lo and behold, the team that allowed them to get in, they play in the first round. And it's 1-1 with 10 minutes to go against Dartmouth until Jack Horbach scores what the go-ahead goal, and the Badgers added three more. So, you know, yeah, the expectation is there every year that Wisconsin's going to compete at this level. You get to the Frozen Four for a national championship. But until they do it consistently, I don't know how you can believe any other way that you'd like to see it. You hope it happens. But we need to see it on an annual basis that this is going to happen. And maybe 2 out of 3 years with Mike is just the start of really great things to come.
That, again, part of the conversation with Brian Posick of the Badgers Sports Network last week. You can hear the full interview on the Civic Media On Demand, the podcast page, last week's Make the Call, a full 14, 15 minutes with Brian just talking about the national championship, Badgers hockey, a little bit about women's hockey and just how things have gone here in the state of Wisconsin. So pretty cool if you want to check that out. Again, that's on our podcast page at civicmedia.us. We have Mike Clemens joining us to wrap up the program next. Going to talk all things sports in Wisconsin. It is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Final segment on Make the Call, and we wrap things up with some of our final thoughts in the wide world of sports, whether it is Parker Olson's Dream Journal or, as we're watching in the video chat, watching Greg Gutterson pull sports cards from a pack and sort them out, because our off-air conversations can be so very interesting that he is pulling cards out of the packs there. Gray, I am curious, is there anything awesome that you have pulled so far out of that massive stack of sports cards at your desk?
I've got there's a pretty clear theme here of just, well, a little bit of everything, but there's some trends here and there. Like the Fleer 1990 set is pretty well represented, and man, I gotta say, this Tony Mandarich card makes him look like he'd be really good at football. That's a guy who you could just take in the first round, and there's no way you could regret that. No way at all. Definitely wouldn't regret taking that guy in the first round. But no, it's just a little bit of everything. I'm really cherishing the Leroy Butler cards and just the big names. There's even one really mean, and I would have thought this was awesome as a kid, this bright, shiny silver Reggie White card. I'd have thought this thing was worth $1 million. So I'm just going to pretend it is on a Saturday today. Make
well,
my weekend
the
that
20
way.
Cent piece of paper there. We're going to check in too quick with Parker. Parker, we talked a lot about your dream journal today in sports. Just curious, any final thoughts or dreams here as we wrap up the show?
Oh, Jimmy, I am dreaming about beer and hot dogs in the ballpark, because I am going to a Brewer game tomorrow, and I'm incredibly happy to tell you that I will be wearing my brand new City Connect jersey. No, not this one. The other one. The Brew Crew one. The good one. Not this one.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're wearing the Wisco jersey.
No.
Okay, now, obviously, we got to talk about it. But no, we're out of time. We can't talk
again,
about it.
No, it's over.
No, because now it's Mike Clemens' time. We got to talk to Mike. Been a fun show. Make sure if you're listening to us today that set your appointment for 4 o'clock to check out WFHR, Badger Sports Network. Wisconsin men's hockey plays for a national championship today against Denver. Again, you can hear it for free on the Civic Media app, on the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us/app. Look for WFHR. Or if you're in Wisconsin Rapids, you can just tune in right there. Big thanks to you, Parker. Gray, got to wrap things up and get it over to Mike Clemens now. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Badgers in the finals today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, men's college hockey. The Wisconsin Badgers have a chance to win the national championship this afternoon. They take on the University of Denver, who upset top-ranked Michigan 4-3. In a game that went into double overtime Thursday night, the Badgers got past North Dakota, one of the best programs in the country, by a score of 2-1. The Badgers scoring both their goals in the first period. Head coach Mike Hastings says he thinks his team is better when they're more aggressive on offense rather than playing defense.
We were on top, and I thought the guys did a really good job, at least over the first 20 minutes, at trying to make them make decisions before they wanted to. And I can tell you from sitting on the bench, just listening to our guys message to each other, it was, let's get after them, stay after it. We're not a very good team when we back up. And so I thought the guys were rewarded for their efforts in the first period at playing on their toes.
Wisconsin's on a 3-game winning streak to get to this point with a chance to win their 7th national title. Now, the last time they lost was last month in the Big Ten tournament, 7-1 to Ohio State. Coach Mike Hastings says the key to this afternoon's game is composure.
Winning a hockey game at this time, bending but not breaking, finding a way to get it done, because at this time of the season, that's all that matters. It doesn't have to be Mona Lisa, right? You've just got to find a way to make sure that you're living for another day. And this group has talked about this moment for a long time. You know, and again, sometimes you've got to fail to succeed. That happened when we played Ohio State, but this group has done a phenomenal job at looking in the mirror and saying, okay, what do you got for us now? It's exciting. You know, I wish all of you could have an opportunity to get to know the group. You're seeing what they do when they play together, and how much they love each other. And so now they got an opportunity to win their last game. That's all you can ask.
So face off between the Badgers and Denver, 4:30 this afternoon Central Time at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Televised coverage on ESPN and on the Badgers radio network. NFL, the Packers made a trade yesterday. They've sent wide receiver Dontavian Wicks to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for 2 draft picks, a 5th-round pick in this month's upcoming draft, and a 6th-rounder next year. In addition, Wicks receives a 1-year contract extension from the Eagles worth $12.5 million. Wicks is 24 years old and was entering the final year of his rookie contract in Green Bay. So the Packers have now parted ways with 2 of their veteran receivers. Romeo Doubs signed a deal last month in free agency with the New England Patriots. That was a 4-year contract valued at $80 million, $39 million guaranteed. Baseball. That was a rough night for the Brewers at home against the Washington Nationals. Top of the ninth, the game tied 3-3, and Brewers closer Trevor Megill hit the Nationals' leadoff batter, C.J. Abrams, with a pitch. He was able to take a base. The Nationals' batters then laid down 3 bunts, scoring on 2 of them, a 4-run inning. The Brewers could not recover. They lost 7-3 at AmFam Field. The Brewers have now lost 3 in a row. Game 2 of the 3-game series against Washington is tonight. A pair of left-handers on the mound. It's going to be the Brewers' Kyle Harrison against the Nationals' Foster Griffin. The first pitch set for 6:10 tonight in Milwaukee. Former Brewers manager Davey Lopes passed away this week at the age of 80. Lopes was the Brewers manager for 3 seasons. 25 years ago, when they first opened Miller Park, as a player, he played second base in the major leagues for 4 different teams from 1972 to 1987, including a 10-year stint with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Later became an assistant coach before becoming an MLB manager. NBA, the Bucks beat Brooklyn. Yeah, the Bucks with a 125-108 win at home over the Brooklyn Nets last night. Milwaukee's A.J. Green with 35 points, including 11 three-point shots, the most in a game in franchise history. Green was asked, did it feel like it was his night?
I don't think you ever really know. You kind of just play the game, and as shots start to fall, my teammates just kept telling me to shoot it and let it fly. So that's just kind of what I try to do, and they kept going in. So it's a fun night. Fun night, good win.
This was the Bucks' final home game of the season, and likely the same for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, who had this message for the media.
You guys, I've always respected all of you guys. I've not, like, always handled you well at times, because I'm always going to be fiery, and I was at times. But overall, you guys have been phenomenal. I think you covered me fairly. You've covered the team fairly, and that's all I can ever ask.
The Bucks finish up the season on the road Sunday night in Philly against the 76ers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.